It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Mike Arnold in for Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we highlight some of our favorite holiday movies, and we ask you to weigh in about yours.
But first, the U.S. Department of Justice just announced that it will review the case of the shooting death of Dontre Hamilton by a former Milwaukee police officer.
Earlier today, we got the details of Milwaukee County District Attorney Chisholm's decision not to press criminal charges against the former police officer. And now we want your reaction as we talk with Eugene Kane. He's a Milwaukee columnist whose Sunday column runs in the Journal Sentinel's Crossroads section. Eugene, thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Well, earlier today we talked with Dontre Hamilton's brother, Nate, who said he was not surprised. He said they prepared for the worst and hoped for the best, but what happened was what they got today, this decision not to press criminal charges. And we want to ask you the question that we asked him. Were you surprised at this decision?
Well, I think when you're an African-American who's lived in Milwaukee as long as I have, more than 30 years, you're not surprised because there's never been a case where a Milwaukee police officer who basically has been accused of using excessive force on particularly a black suspect has been charged. So, no, to answer your question, I wasn't surprised.
And we just got the news that the U.S. Department of Justice will review this case. What do you expect to come from the early stages of that investigation?
Well, I would just hope that it will be a chance to really just lay out the facts very plainly for most people to see that this is a case where a guy who was said to be mentally disturbed was in a park in Milwaukee, downtown Milwaukee. I guess some people thought he was causing trouble. A couple of police officers did investigate and found that he might have, you know, been a kind of peculiar or quirky kind of guy, but he wasn't really breaking the law or doing anything wrong. Then Christopher Manny comes afterwards, and it becomes a deadly altercation. And I just think the Justice Department and everybody else really needs to kind of reconcile the idea that a guy who had been investigated and found he was doing nothing wrong was later then shot multiple times by a police officer after an altercation that the police officer caused himself, which the police chief has found was something that didn't have to happen and was actually outside police procedure.
We've seen protests.
So if we put all that on the table and look at it very objectively, I would hope the Justice Department will come to a conclusion like a lot of Milwaukeeans have come to, that this can't just be excused as, you know, just, you know, something that happened. A man's life was lost, and it didn't have to be lost.
Now, over the past month or so, we've seen protests over the deaths of Eric Garner, over Michael Brown. Eugene, what is the scene like in Milwaukee tonight?
Well, I have friends on the East Coast and in other places outside Milwaukee who are interested in the Ferguson case and interested in the New York Michael Eric Garner case. But I have told them that because Milwaukee is not as prominent on the national spotlight, I have told them for months that if they ever really found out the details of the Dontre Hamilton case, it actually is much more dramatic than any of those other cases. I mean, when you get a guy shot multiple times, as many as I've heard is 14 times, because basically he felt that he's an armed police officer and he felt that this unarmed black man, mentally disturbed black man, was about to, I guess, threaten him physically. It just, once you put it out there, people have to kind of understand that this is a very, you know, dramatic case of what a lot of people have been complaining about.
We're talking right now with Eugene Kane. He's a Milwaukee columnist whose Sunday column runs in the Journal Sentinel's Crossroads section. And we'd like to hear from you. What is your reaction to this decision today? You can reach us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think about what happened, the decision, and what do you make of the specifics of this case? What would you like to see moving forward now that we know that there will be a federal investigation? You can call in right now at 800-642-1234. And Eugene, Mayor Tom Barrett, Mayor of Milwaukee, was on our program last Friday talking about some new police training that will be required for police to deal with mentally ill people. What do you think about that as a a gesture of good faith in working with the police and how they interact with African Americans and with all the citizens in Milwaukee.
Well, of course, I agree with that. I think that's a good thing to happen. I have to, and not trying to be overly cynical, I have to wonder how much good that does the Dontre Hamilton family. And I also wonder whether or not there's sort of like an excuse being made for a lapse in procedure all these years, where I would suspect, because mental illness is not a real new development for police departments to have to deal with, I would have to wonder why there's been this all this time where nobody has come up with the right policy. Or if they have the right policy, it hasn't been drilled into the minds of their police recruits, because I keep hearing that Milwaukee police officers have been specifically trained to how to use their firearms, which is why they say Christopher Maney was justified in firing so many times at Dontre Hamilton because he was considered a threat. It seems to me, why aren't they trained just as well as to how to handle unarmed, supposedly mentally ill suspects without, you know, using deadly force? So I agree with Mayor Barrett. There needs to be, you know, new procedures, new techniques taught, but we can't just look past the fact that this case is still an example of when somebody does something deadly wrong.
And what do you think about the specifics of the case? We had Dontre Hamilton being shot 14 times, and also the use of force, the use of excessive force was deemed appropriate. What did you think about that specific decision?
Well, I just ask for people to look at it in a very personal way and just use common sense, whereas if you're an armed police officer, you have a gun, you've been trained how to handle people. So according to what I've heard about this Dontre Hamilton, Christopher Maney encounter, is that there was an encounter, and he perhaps, I mean, Dontre Hamilton perhaps grabbed Christopher Maney's baton. But at that point, does that translate into feeling your life is in so much danger that you have to now empty your firearm into the body of this guy? I mean, that's what a lot of black people, probably a lot of white people too, question about this case. This extreme use of violent force, how can you really justify that by saying, well, that's police procedure? In that case, any police officer who encounters a mentally troubled or any kind of, you know, bizarrely acting person is justified in killing them because they make a grab for their baton or they're very physically, you know, abusive. I mean, police officers are supposed to be trained better than that.
And we'll go to our phone lines now, Eugene. Let's get some callers in on this. We have Tony joining us in Milwaukee. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What do you think?
I would disagree. Based on the reports and what the witnesses said from the district attorney's full report, I took a glimpse over it. The person, Dontre Hamilton, he took the officer's metal baton and he struck him with the baton. Witnesses can corroborate that story. So to say that he's unarmed and to say, kind of, I guess, sugarcoat that language, I think is false. And I think that if anyone, trained or not, a soldier, a police officer, just a regular civilian, being struck with a metal baton repeatedly, they're going to use deadly force. It's just the reality of it. And so I think the issue at hand is just you have people like Dontre Hamilton or just the Ferguson case or the issue in New York. It's just nothing good can come out of resisting police officers or disobeying police officers. I mean, you don't deserve to die, absolutely not, but you run the risk of something bad happening. Chances are 100 out of 100 times when you're resisting a police officer, when you're grabbing for a gun, when you're swinging a metal baton or instrument at a police officer, nothing good's going to come of it.
Tony, thank you for your thoughts there. And the metal baton being used against the officer, Eugene, does that perhaps agree with what the district attorney said, that the officer feared for his life and needed to use the force that he did?
Well, I don't want to start arguing with people who, because I wasn't there, this caller wasn't there, you weren't there. I just don't really see how a trained police officer suddenly feels that he's in such danger of his life, he has to shoot somebody 14 times. I'll just leave it at that.
We're talking with Milwaukee-based columnist Eugene Kane about his response to the Dontre Hamilton case and the fact that the U.S. Department of Justice will be reviewing that case.
And we want your reaction, too. Do you believe that the DA was right not to indict former officer Christopher Manny in the shooting death of Dontre Hamilton or not? Is the federal review of the case warranted? What do you hope the outcome is for the Hamiltons and for the community? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org.
We have to create the change. We have to create the standards throughout this nation to make sure that we as people, we have rights that are protected by these officers. And these officers violate those rights. They kill us. They are held to a higher standard than what this Attorney Chisholm is holding it to.
A clip there from Nate Hamilton. We heard from him earlier in the program talking about the shooting death of his brother, Dontre Hamilton. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Mike Arnold, and we're talking with Milwaukee-based columnist Eugene Kane about today's decision by the Milwaukee County District Attorney not to indict the former Milwaukee police officer in the shooting death of Dontre Hamilton. We're also talking about the new federal investigation that was announced that it's being launched today as well.
And we'd like to hear from you. What was your reaction to the news that the officer would not be charged with criminal charges? Coming off the heels of similar cases around the country, do you see this, as some have called it, as Milwaukee's Ferguson moment? Call us at 800-642-1234. We continue on with columnist Eugene Kane, and we take our first call from Greg in Milwaukee. Hi, Greg.
Hi. My understanding is that during the middle of the 1900s, when there were automatic weapons around, police were told to use revolvers because it took more deliberation to shoot and there was less chance of a killing. But during an attempted bank robbery in California maybe 20 years ago, when the criminals had automatic weapons, there was a switch over to automatic weapons, and police were told to just pull the trigger and use up all the magazine. And this was from a book called Glock, The Rise of America's Gun.
And Greg, thank you so much for your thoughts. I think I've got the gist of what you're saying there. Eugene, is part of the problem the weapons that police are using? Do they need to move to something different, maybe a taser, maybe something that's less likely to kill?
For the first time, I think I've heard in some of the reporting today that there's some sort of procedure that recruits are trained that if they feel in some kind of encounter their lives are in danger, they should just empty their weapons. And I thought to myself, God, that sounds like such a barbaric policy. I'm sure that can't be true, but I've been kind of informed since then it actually is true in terms of training. So I'm not a real I'm not a gun nut at all. I don't really, know much about guns and weapons. So, but, I don't know what your caller was getting at exactly, but I do think it is surprising to learn that there's this idea that you should just keep firing until you don't have any more bullets in any case in which you feel, your life might be threatened, which could be any number of scenarios. That just seems wrong-headed to me.
Greg, I thank you for your call, and we'll move next to Josh joining us in West Bend. Hi, Josh.
Hey, I'm not an expert on this, but I thought police officers were trained to disarm first instead of shoot to kill. I would think someone holding a baton you could probably disarm him, hit him in the shoulder or something instead of 14 times, but I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate that. And Eugene, I don't know if you are an expert about the way police are trained, but in terms of aiming to disarm someone that they're dealing with, is that, do you think, a goal? Does there need to be some sort of scrutiny about the way that things escalate and when force is used?
I think people need to use common sense in reference to the most highly publicized incidents that have gotten the nation real upset about how police seem to be involved in these shootings and wrongful deaths of black suspects in particular. In most cases, I think for the normal citizen, you wonder why it had to go to that extreme, which I think is what the caller is suggesting. And yes, I even without any intimate knowledge of how they're trained, it just seems amazing to me that your first instinct as a police officer is to end up shooting and killing someone. And I have to also add that in my social media networks, I have seen over the last 6 months, because of the Trayvon Martin and Eric Garner and the Michael Brown cases, there have been numerous incidences of white suspects being cornered by police, whether holding weapons or threatening people, and they never get killed. They always end up getting taken alive. So I'll put that out there as someone who that I've seen that, and that just basically just raises a question to me. And it's a racially based question, but that's what I've seen.
Now, Officer Manny has already been fired from the department, so he's no longer patrolling the streets. What else would you like to see done as Milwaukee moves forward from this moment?
Well, I don't have any personal thing with Officer Manny, but I do think the fact that he was fired for not acting properly as a police officer, but he's not going to face any charges for killing a person while he was acting improperly as a police officer, just seems totally ridiculous and astounding to me. I think any reasonable person can look at it that way, that, okay, you'll lose your job because you kill someone, but you won't get charged before you kill someone. And that might be a simplistic way of wrapping it up, but that's the way I see it, and that I can definitely tell you that's the source of the anger from a lot of people in the African-American community in Milwaukee. They just see such a disconnect between the way he was treated by the department and now by the justice system.
And we go back to our phone lines now. Michelle is joining us from Racine. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I just wanted to say I work in occupational therapy, and I've worked with the people with mental illness, and I've even worked with children with that have some sort of mental illness. And I've understood, you know, the diseases that they've had. And when I've worked with them, I've been frightened for my life. And I'm in a safe environment, and I know they have nothing to hurt me. And so I'm not saying that that's a reason to shoot people, but I'm saying you don't know how that officer felt in his position where he was at.
Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate that perspective. Again, we are going to be seeing more training for police officers to deal with mental illness. But, Eugene, do you see that as something that was under consideration perhaps in the decision today?
Well, I mean, I'm very concerned with the training of police officers to deal specifically with mentally ill suspects or people. But I'm disturbed by the idea that there were officers, and I think it gets kind of lost in the narrative. There was officers, Milwaukee police officers, who encountered this suspect, or this victim, rather, earlier, and found that he was not really doing anything wrong. I mean, we can't really just ignore that. What was the trigger for Officer Manny to decide that he had to encounter him in a more aggressive way? He can't be excused for that. He has to kind of answer for that.
Now, earlier when we had Dontre Hamilton's brother on, Nate Hamilton, he said that he felt there was a broader problem that he was hoping would be addressed. He was talking about the contributions of African-Americans not being acknowledged. He said they contribute to the community, but their contributions are overlooked and that the whole system needs to be fixed. What do you think he was getting at? And do you agree that there's a broader problem here beyond perhaps, you know, just looking at the way police interact with the people that they're policing?
Well, I think, you know, I've written about these issues for years, and I think we get into trouble when you start to broaden it too much. We need to deal with these specifics. I can come up with a lot of different theories about police community relations and in regards to the way they encounter African Americans or young people or whatever. I think in this case, we should stay centered on this particular issue, which is an encounter between a Milwaukee police officer and a individual who had mental problems, most people say, and understanding exactly what the confrontation ended up being and what's the responsibility of the officer who was involved, Christopher Manny.
because, I mean, I don't really understand, again, like I said, how he can be penalized for not doing his job and losing his job, but can't be penalized for not doing his job and costing someone else their life.
Now, as we run out of time here together, how do you recommend our leaders, our police departments, and our communities come together at this point and have a constructive dialogue, as you say, about the specifics of this?
Well, I just think they need to. I think what I've seen, Mayor Barrett and Chief Flynn seem to understand the nature of the protests and the nature of the anger in the community. I don't think Governor Walker or Sheriff Clark seem to be dealing with it in a way other than looking at their own political fortunes and trying to kind of, you know, coddle up to people who don't really understand what's going on in the community. So these folks have to really kind of understand that they speak for everybody, and hopefully they'll take the right path in keeping a lid on things and continuing to progress with the investigation, which needs to be done, because I think there are still questions need to be resolved.
Eugene, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for the invitation.
We've been speaking with Eugene Kane, a Milwaukee columnist whose Sunday column runs in the Journal Sentinel's Crossroads section, and you can keep the conversation going on the Central Time Facebook page as Milwaukee and Wisconsin and the nation reacts to this decision today announced not to press criminal charges in the case of Dontre Hamilton. What is your reaction? What do you think it'll take to move forward? Let us know on the Central Time Facebook page. It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Mike Arnold. Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm announced today that ex-Milwaukee police officer Christopher Manny will not be charged in the shooting death of Dontre Hamilton back in April.
Chisholm says Manny's use of deadly force in the incident was justified self-defense based on the evidence presented in the case.
Since the announcement earlier today, the city of Milwaukee has been reacting strongly. Some have called this Milwaukee's Ferguson moment. Ashley Lutheran has the latest. She's been covering the Dontre Hamilton case for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Ashley, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks very much.
First, could you get us caught up on the details of District Attorney Chisholm's decision?
Absolutely. Like you said, District Attorney Chisholm said that he did not find cause to charge former Officer Manny because of self-defense. Essentially, under self-defense guidelines, if someone believes that they are in life-threatening danger of serious injury, they have the right to respond with force. That holds for any person, but even more so, you know, there becomes a standard of who's that reasonable person in the officer's shoes. And in that case, they would rely on the officer's training, the training of officers around Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and around the country.
Now, was there a possibility that the district attorney could have taken a slightly different approach with this? Or was really the main question whether it was an act of self-defense or not?
The district attorney was pretty clear on this today. He said he was looking solely at the use of force, not the actions that immediately preceded it. If you'll recall, the officer in question, Chris Manny, was fired as a result of the initial interaction between him and Dontre Hamilton. The police chief here deemed that an out-of-policy pat-down. The district attorney was not examining the full interaction, just the use of force, which would come down to self-defense. The officer said, you know, he did fear that he was in fear for his life, and so officers are trained to use force to stop the threat.
Now, did the district attorney explain why he didn't use the previous action in the whole consideration?
He essentially said that was not the question before him. So the question before him was criminal charges. That's what could happen at the state level. Federally, you know, if there's an illegal search of someone, that could be a federal civil rights violation.
Okay. So what evidence did he present at today's press conference?
He presented a lot of evidence. He presented a summary of witness statements. There are more than, I think, 50 witnesses. He also presented a training video that showed how quickly the weapons Milwaukee police officers fire, saying that 13 to 14 shots were fired. It probably would have occurred over a span of 3 to 4 seconds. He also demonstrated some of the trajectory, saying the height difference between the officer and Dontre Hamilton would have indicated some of those downward direction bullets that had come out in the autopsy. So the full autopsy was also released. We have a lot of material that's being released from the state Department of Justice's Division of Criminal Investigation that we're going through right now, including 911 calls, some squad video. But as the district attorney pointed out today, there was no video that showed the entirety of the incident.
Now, in his conference today, he took some time to explain the relationship between the DA's office and the police department. Why was that important for him to do?
I think that was important because in some of these past cases that you've seen around the country, there hasn't really been an acknowledgement that I've seen, and perhaps I'm wrong, from some of the other prosecutors in other jurisdictions, at least acknowledging that, yes, they do work with these police officers and these police departments every day because they are prosecuting the cases that these officers are bringing to them. It seemed like it was important for the district attorney here, John Chisholm, to point that out, acknowledge it, and say that despite all that, it is his professional opinion that they handled this in a professional and comprehensive way, and also that he did rely on this expert, Emmanuel Kapelson, as a leading authority in this use of force review.
Now, were there any questions about the expert?
You know, so far, not immediately. Everyone, I think, is still digesting all the information that was released today.
Now, what's the local reaction been so far? What have you seen?
Local reaction, well, as you mentioned, you know, there are some protests going on downtown in Milwaukee. The Hamilton family has said that, you know, they are still working for justice. They hope that this will be pursued by federal authorities, which the district attorney said it has been. You know, the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office both have investigative materials related to this case. So there's been a lot of reaction coming in from politicians and all around. The Mayor Tom Barrett said, you know, there is a lot of work ahead to heal police-community relations, and he also was quick to point out that the vast majority of people who work for the Milwaukee Police Department are doing this job because they want to protect and serve. So that's the kind of reaction, and also the Milwaukee Police Association, the police union, has commended the district attorney for the thorough investigation.
Now, some people have referred to this as a Ferguson moment for Milwaukee. Do you think that's a fair comparison?
I think it's certainly relevant. Obviously, what's going on around the country factors into what's going on here in terms of people's reaction to it. However, I think it's more important to look at what's happened in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee specifically. You know, there's been, there's been a long history of deaths in police custody and also trying to get some kind of investigation into police practices here locally. And in fact, the death of Derek Williams was one of the many, one of the probably top three incident police custody deaths cited in the new passage of the new law for review of those deaths.
Now, the National Guard's been on standby in the event of a major eruption of a protest. Based on what you're talking about so far, it looks like that's not necessary.
So far, that's what it looks like, yep.
Now, the Hamilton family would like a federal investigation. Do you have any sense on what could happen next with that?
You know, as I said earlier, it appears that the federal authorities have this information. The district attorney here said he doesn't know their timetable. He said that they haven't told him a timetable for if they would, you know, release any decision or anything like that. So.
All right, Ashley. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Ashley Lutheran is covering the Dontre Hamilton story for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Right now, we're getting reaction to the Milwaukee District Attorney's decision not to press criminal charges against an ex-Milwaukee police officer in the shooting death of Dontre Hamilton.
Protesters have been marching today in response to the decision, and among them is Nate Hamilton. He's the brother of Dontre Hamilton, and he joins us now from downtown Milwaukee. Nate, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
You're welcome.
It has to be a hard day today for your family. What's your reaction to today's decision not to indict the Officer Manny?
You know, it's how I've been feeling. It's been a delay from, you know, April 30th, and we just lost hope in the system working at all for us. You know, we think our system's supposed to work a lot faster when you're dealing with folks and dealing with people that do this on a day-to-day. And to actually live this is unimaginable at this point. So we're just trying to pass everything and move forward and see what other steps we can take in getting justice.
Did this decision come as a surprise to your family? Is this what you were expecting? Or
we prepared for the worst and hope for the best. So we're prepared for this decision only because what's been going on in the nation. You see in cops getting away with murdering unarmed individuals in the black community, and what makes Milwaukee no different? What makes Milwaukee that place where they're going to change? So we as a people, we have to create the change. We have to create the standards throughout this nation to make sure that we as people, we have rights that are protected by these officers. And when these officers violate those rights, they kill us. They are hold to a higher standard than what District Attorney Chisholm is holding it to.
Do you think that marching about this will be able to raise the issue so that people know it's important and it needs to be addressed in some way? Is that why you're?
Well, you always have to take it to the streets to bring awareness, to build the people, to get people to understand that. These are our streets. We pay tax dollars. We help build these streets. We help hold our community up and to continuously throw us under the bus. The black brown communities, for the most part, they actually sweat. They sweat. They put so much work into the community, and it's overlooked all the time. And this system, needs to be reformed.
Do you feel a certain amount of comfort in having so many people out marching with you today and in support of your family and your brother?
Yeah, the people give my family strength by understanding. And actually, a lot of people have been through things with the police officers, so they really can relate. They really see what's happening. These people that march with me, their eyes are open. And we have a lot of people sitting at home, and their eyes are closed. Like, they will not put themselves in the shoes of others. They will not understand the grief of a mother who lost her son to a police officer who shot him 14 times. I just don't understand. How can you shoot someone 14 times? We want all the evidence to be presented. I don't think 25 pages covers all the evidence in this case. And for the district attorney to put just 25 pages what he thought the facts of the case were together is very disturbing.
Now, your family wants a federal investigation. What do you hope will happen with that?
I hope in the process of the federal investigation, we show that our district attorney is not a competent person, show that the system is broken and mangled, and they need to go in and they need to see exactly what it is that's going on inside this district attorney's office. The Milwaukee Police Department and the federal government really needs to look into it and see that it's been a cover up for years. And the district attorney always finds reason not to charge. He doesn't look for a reason why to charge when it comes to an officer. But if it was an individual, a regular citizen, he does everything in his power to find evidence to make sure that person goes through the judicial system and he is charged to the full extent of the law. So why can't we get that in our community when it comes to police officers taking it upon themselves to use excessive force to create a situation? Christopher Manny created that situation on April 30th. And he had the right to kill someone after he violated procedures and policies. He violated my trade civil rights. So now you're just saying that our rights as people can be violated and we can be murdered. We have no type of law that helps us or protects us against this violence when it comes from the Milwaukee Police Department or any police department. So there's something wrong, and we need to make sure the rights of the people are protected at all costs.
Now, there have been some actions taken by the mayor and the police department. Do you feel like that's progress?
They need to do more. You can't just give the people CIT training and say all that stuff. It needs to be consistent system reform because
CRT training is one thing, but community relations training, you know, these officers need to be screened properly. They need to be evaluated properly on a yearly basis so that we understand what type of cops we're putting into our community. What type of background do they come from? Do they come from a suburban background where they really never encounter the black and brown people? Do they really understand the black and brown people? Are they trying to understand? This is about educating yourself.
Do you feel like that's a big part of it, that sometimes the police just don't have a lot of experience dealing with black people?
No, that's one thing. And then just another thing is just their morals and their values. The first one says integrity, but they're not living up to those morals and values. They're not living up to what they stand for. So you feel like that needs to be addressed.
So what? There are a lot of people who will probably be protesting about this. Do you have a message to the protesters that you'd like to send on behalf of your family? Or?
Well, my family, just we want to thank all the supporters. We will be back down at Red Arrow Park in about an hour. And we just want to stand in solidarity for the families across the nation, including mine, say that, hey, we're tired, and we need to find a civil approach and changing the system. I don't tell nobody or recommend anyone to destroy, to tear up, burn down anything. I just recommend we stand together and we look into creating a change that we need for the people. And that's the most important thing, is to stand together.
I've been following some of the things on Twitter, and there's some people who are saying that it feels like a family get together the way people are protesting this. Do you get that feeling?
Yeah, we are. We are a family of love. Like honestly, everybody that circles me, they know that I'm about respect and love. I expect to give it, and I expect to receive it from the individuals that's around me. So I speak highly about respect, and I think that officers that police our community should be the same. They should be, you know, respectful of the people that they encounter. I guarantee you, if they take the approach, you will be able to better control the outcome of a situation.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
That was Nate Hamilton. He's the brother of Dontre Hamilton. He joined us from a protest in progress in downtown Milwaukee. And for more reaction to today's decision by District Attorney John Chisholm, we're joined by Brandy Grayson. She's the founder of the Madtown Community Response Team. Brandy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me back to the show. I appreciate it.
Now, is this the decision you expected to hear from Milwaukee?
Absolutely. It is the decision that was made by the district attorney is a decision that I believe most of us was expecting, and mostly because we no longer have faith in our justice system. Our justice system has failed us over and over again. So there is no evidence or any reason to believe that it will do what it's designed to do for most people, except for us. So no, we're not surprised or shocked that they did not indict him.
Now, there are some people who believe, including the Hamilton family, who believe that there could mm-hmm. be some opportunity on the federal level. Do you feel any confidence that that could happen?
Well, I'm always hopeful that the federal government would step in and do something different than our state. But again, I don't believe, and the Young, Gifted, and Black Coalition doesn't believe that the systems are broken. We know for sure that the systems are set up like this. The systems are working exactly as they're designed to do. So, no, we don't really have much faith in the federal government. But as always, we're always hopeful that a miracle, in a sense, will happen. And I will continue to hold out hope for Dontre Hamilton, too, in terms of justice and his family, that the federal government would be willing to step in and do something about this.
Now, your group formed in the wake of the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson. Are there parallels that you see between Dontre Hamilton's story and Michael Brown's death?
I think one thing that we have to look at and be willing to accept and take notice of is the fact that the officer involved in the shooting was fired. He was fired because when he originally assessed Dontre Hamilton, he knew there was something wrong with him, you know, and there was a prior call as well where another officer showed up and you know, knew that something was wrong with Dontre, and what he needed was medication. What he needed was help. And no one else in the area was afraid of him. So the parallel for me is this idea that black people, or black men specifically, are automatically feared. Feared versus, they see our color first. And if there's anything that follows that, like a mental health issue or anything else, then that is kind of disregarded. And our men and our boys are treated according to their skin and the fear that is associated with their color, their skin, and it's not handled. They're not handled as people, and they're not handled in a way that that we say that the justice system is designed to do. You know, the officer was fired because he didn't follow protocol, but yet because he said he was afraid, it was okay for him to shoot him. And not only was it okay for him to shoot him, it was okay for him to shoot him 14 times. And I'm not sure how much. I'm not going to make a judgment there, but I'm just going to say that I just don't believe that he deserved to be shot 14 times, even if the person was legitimately scared. I'm sure a one shot or two shots would have done the job in terms of stopping him or however he may perceive it. So for me, the parallel again is our color, our skin color. Race is always and always will be something that will be in the forefront in terms of police officers' interactions with people of color, and specifically men of color.
So what reforms do you think need to be taken? One of the things that Nate Hamilton mentioned just a few minutes ago was that he thinks that they need to be thinking about police officers who have more experience, you know, dealing with black people in general.
I'm going to agree with Nate, and I'm also going to add on to the fact that this isn't just a police officer training. Racism is an insidious cultural disease. I don't care how much training we give white officers or officers that are employed to protect and serve us. We have to look at ourselves as a country. We have to look at our culture. What are we teaching our children? What are we watching on TV? How are black people being framed in the media? How are we being represented in terms of anything in politics? And how are people seeing us? Because the only time they really see us is when we're involved in sports or football. That's when we get our ultimate respect. Oh, you know, that's the only time when people are not threatened or are not afraid of us, is when we have a jersey on or some type of uniform on, versus just having respect for being a human being. So, I mean, again, we can provide training, but this isn't the training, the kind of training that would be required to uproot white supremacy is not a checkbox training. This is something that has to start at home. It's just something that will have to start with us as a country, taking a look at ourselves and our history and what we're founded in and how these systems came to be in the first place, and the residue of nothing but bloodshed that is the foundation of most of our quote-unquote systems in the United States.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Brandy. We appreciate it. That was Brandy Grayson. She's a founder of Madtown Community Response Team.